This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Couple of big stories brewing around town today, and they have to do with putting your money where your mouth is.
First, former Governor Deval Patrick announced today that he's joining Bain Capital.
Yes, that Bain Capital.
The private equity and venture capital firm co-founded by former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Patrick will become Bain's first African-American managing director, and he'll start a new line of business for Bain, social impact investing, directing money to companies that create positive social change as well as profits.
Meanwhile, in Cambridge, Harvard students are camped outside the university's main administration building. They're demanding that the world's largest university endowment divest from fossil fuels-based energy companies.
For some time now, corporations have talked about the concept of the double bottom line, where they measure both financial performance and the social impact of how they do business.
But this week's news made us wonder about the shift to the investment side of things. Is the double bottom line an increasingly important strategy for individuals and institutional investors? So let's start with Beth Healy, financial and investigative reporter for the business section of the Boston Globe. Beth, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So first, let's talk about Governor Patrick and his arrival at Bain today. Did he tell you why he chose to take this job?
Yeah, it sounds like he was, you know, doing all of his soul searching about what he wanted to do next or his next chapter. And of the many people he spoke with, he had some friends in sort of the innovation venture capital world who said, kind of turned him on to this idea of social impact investing. And then he found a fit at Bain Capital, where they're willing to start a fund for him to work on.
Do you know how large that fund's going to be?
They have not said. But, you know, Bain does things pretty big, so I would imagine it'll be in the hundreds of millions at least.
Right. And so when you spoke with the former governor, how did he describe to you what he thinks social impact investing is, and what sort of sectors is he going to be looking at?
So social impact investing, importantly, is not philanthropy. It's not giving money away. It is looking for investments that you believe are for social good and that you also can get an investment return. Maybe not, you know, killer returns, but something respectable was the way they put it. And he's interested in health, education, innovation, energy, and community development.
In fact, I see in a statement that Patrick released, he said, "I am confident that we can find compelling investments that deliver both attractive financial returns and positive social outcomes." How important is this for Bain Capital?
Well, it is interesting for Bain Capital. It is something new, and it's really something pretty new in the private equity world. When you think of the, you know, your typical private equity venture capital world is you have clients who are foundations and endowments and pension funds, and they want you to make as much money as possible for them. So this is starting a specific fund where the people who invest might also be, you know, pension funds, wealthy people, and they're going to want a return on their money, but not necessarily expect, you know, 20% or 30% or what have you. And so I think the big difference here is people who are willing, the so-called double bottom line is, I want to return, but I want you to do something good with the money.
And interesting, because Bain isn't alone in this. I was just seeing that in February, BlackRock, they've got $4 trillion under management. Trillion with a T, I think. They hired Deborah Winchell of the Robin Hood Foundation to lead their new impact investing practice. So it seems like this is gaining steam amongst high-value investors. But is this also good for Bain Capital in terms of PR? I mean, it was the source of a lot of stories when Governor Romney ran for president about, you know, that Bain Capital is an example of maybe how a business doesn't always work for the average person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's PR precisely, but absolutely, there's something that these firms are looking for in social impact investing. I think that they've got, for instance, pension funds and clients coming to them and saying, "Hey, can you guys do this?" And they don't want to be in the business of saying no. And yes, I think it appeals to their hope of sort of legacy and being able to do good things. Now, Bain would tell you that they always do good things, right? But, you know, we do all remember during, you know, Romney's various runs for president, the deep dives everybody did on some of the Bain companies. And look, private equity is a tough business. By its nature, you are often putting a lot of debt onto a company and you are trying to make it more efficient and sometimes firing people.
Right.
So it does not always come with good headlines.
Well, let me ask you about that. And I wonder if you talked about that aspect of this business with Governor Patrick, because, I mean, he was governor during the financial crisis, and it was left to him and his administration to sort of pick up the pieces of the state budget as they felt the impact of 2008 and 9 and 10. He also considers, you know, Senator Elizabeth Warren a very close political ally. But here he is taking a job at a company that, as you just mentioned, you know, in some people's minds is emblematic of a way of doing business that puts profit before people. Did he express any discomfort at all with that?
I asked him if he thought about it, and he said he did. You know, I think in one aspect he may feel, you know, possibly apart from the private equity because he's going to be working on his own fund. You know, maybe he'll be working on earlier stage companies that, you know, where you're less likely to have to do things like lay people off. He did say when I asked him about it, though, that, you know, hey, I've been in the business world before. You know, he worked at Coca-Cola and Texaco and even with the state, right? He is not unfamiliar with layoffs and dealing with unpleasant things. I don't know. He doesn't seem to be very worried about it impacting any future political ambitions. Mm.
Beth Healy is financial and investigative reporter for the business section of the Boston Globe. There's a link to her article on Deval Patrick joining Bain Capital. We've got it at radioboston.org. Beth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to Will Lana. He's a partner and investment manager at Trillium Asset Management, a Boston-based investment management firm. They have more than $2 billion in assets, and they're a leader in the realm of social impact investing. He joins us from San Francisco. Will Lana, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So we talked a little bit about the private equity side of things, and I want to return to that conversation with you in a moment. But let's look at institutional investing vis-a-vis a giant endowment like the one that Harvard has. When it comes to this question of the double bottom line and investors, does a double bottom line exist for institutional investors, endowments like Harvard?
I think absolutely should and can exist, and more endowments, particularly at universities, are using a double bottom line approach, one that wasn't commonly in practice 10 or 20 years ago, but is increasingly in practice today, and particularly with the urgency around climate change and the divestment movement around climate, focusing attention on the activities of university endowments, I think, you know, the time is ripe for conversation.
I'm seeing that this idea of social impact investing has really taken off in the past couple of years. According to the U.S.-based Forum for Sustainable and Responsible Investment, between 2012 and 14, so in a two-year period, socially responsible assets under management doubled from $3.5 trillion to $6.6 trillion. So that seems like a big growth, but overall, in terms of all assets under management out there in the United States, is it a relatively small portion of portfolios?
Well, so certainly, you know, it's starting from a smaller base, although the growth has been, you know, above average for a number of years. And that big jump over the last 2 years, you know, really stands out. So you're now looking at close to one in eight investment dollars in the United States is taking a double bottom line approach, looking at some environmental and social factors in the investment process. And so
$1 in $8.
Yeah, $1 in $8. Now, there's a big variance in terms of how aggressively they're looking at those factors, but it is growing significantly. And I can say, just as a professional working in the field, that it's almost like a switch has been flipped in the last 2 or 3 years. The amount of interest is dramatically more than it was in the past. Mm.
Now, interesting. In the with respect to Harvard specifically, the students who are protesting outside the president's office right now want the $37 plus billion endowment that's managed by the Harvard Management Corporation to pull out of fossil fuel companies. I'm just wondering, do you think that an endowment's investment strategy should be aligned with its client organization's mission? Or in the case of Harvard, could that actually ultimately limit Harvard's ability to achieve its own mission? Does that make sense?
Sure. I think what you're driving at is this idea that there would be a significant sacrifice in the returns.
Yes.
if Harvard were to divest. And that's a common question. I can tell you without getting into the weeds too much that there's been a variety of different white papers written on the subject and looking at different time periods. And the overall conclusion is that the returns would be the same, or any difference would kind of be immaterial in the grand scheme of things. So there certainly are ways with the specific divestment request that was asked, which is limited to 200 specific companies, that can be done. And I think you look at a university like Harvard, they have a specific mission in our society. They're a prestigious organization that are really holding themselves up to be, like a lot of universities, to be a leader when it comes to tackling issues around climate change. Mm. And so when you look at some investments that are really in conflict with that position, I think it does raise some questions in terms of, how aligned they are and how urgent the issue of tackling climate change is to Harvard. Again, if there's hundreds of millions of dollars betting on a different outcome,
right? So I'm looking at this analysis that was done by the Guardian newspaper, and they were looking at this question vis-a-vis the Gates Foundation and the Gates Foundation Trust, and they found that, or they say that the Gates Foundation Trust gives away 5% of its assets a year, and they retain 95% of the money to be put to work to essentially make more money. And basically, the analysis sort of asks this question of that if a substantial part of that 95% is being invested into companies that, put more CO2 into the atmosphere, could the fund actually be doing more damage in the long run because only 5% of their assets are spent in sort of, say, anti-climate change or global warming efforts?
This is what, again, lots of institutional investors are looking at now, thinking of the environmental and social impacts of that other 95% of the portfolio. So how does that, actually the whole 100% of the portfolio, address the issues that are important to an organization? And I think, when you look at the 21st century, there's a variety of different global problems that Harvard is looking to work on around health, society, inequality. But climate change is certainly one of those top issues that it's facing and trying to tackle. And so looking at it in the investment process, I think makes sense. There have been a variety of different universities that have discussed divestment, and I'd say they've really looked at it closely. So you can look at Syracuse University recently announced that they'll be divesting Pitzer College as well. Other universities like Stanford is not doing a full divestment, but they're doing a partial divestment from coal. Even Yale and UC Berkeley, which is not divesting, it's taken a very thoughtful approach into incorporating climate change into the way the endowment makes its decisions. In the case of Harvard, I think their initial response was inadequate. It was the premise was brushed aside. And so part of the reason I think you're seeing so much activity at Harvard this week is recognition by students and by alumni and faculty that the university needs to have a more robust response that really does tackle these issues and thinks about the question carefully.
Yeah. Will, Lana, let's take a step back here, because what I wonder is, are we seeing sort of the beginnings of a shift for investors or a mainstreaming of this concept of that we really need to expand how value is perceived or defined when it comes to investments, that there is a value in a better educated public, more financially stable consumers, a climate that's not out of whack? I mean, these are externalities, for lack of a better term, that have been traditionally ignored by business.
Sure. I think the companies we invest in, there's no doubt, have a very large impact on the world we live in. And so wanting to make investments that generate a good return, but also help to create the world that we want to live in, that's really important. And I can say from the different clients that I've worked with, there is a bit of a generational difference. I think particularly with millennials, this idea that a company can do good environmentally and socially and also do good financially, makes sense to them. There's a variety of academic papers that essentially support that conclusion when you look back at actual returns over the last 20 or 30 years. We have this story in our heads that you know, being irresponsible is a good way to make money. But in reality, being responsible is a better way to make money. And so I do think there's a shift, and I think, you know, we're just at the beginning of that shift in terms of something that's going to continue and for years to come.
Is that true in the long run, especially for groups like private equity firms? Because, I mean, ultimately their goal is not just a return, but a healthy return upon exiting the companies that they initially invest in, a healthy financial return. I mean, and, you know, I don't know how long, you know, these companies are willing to wait, 5, 10, 15 years. It feels like with socially responsible investing, maybe are groups willing to embrace much longer timelines than they had before? Or maybe another way of putting it is, when it comes down to ultimately the bottom line, you know, is sheer financial profitability still going to be king?
Well, patience is a virtue for investors, and short-sightedness can lead to bad decisions. And that's true today. It's been true for a long time. You know, I think if you look at a lot of private equity dollars were flowing into the oil patch just a few years ago in terms of, you know, boosting some of the fracking technologies and some work in the tar sands. You know, now just over the past 2 years, it's been a much more difficult environment. The price of oil and gas has fallen, and those investments aren't doing that well. When we look forward to the next 10 or 20 years, potential impacts from climate change and legislation that might limit carbon emissions, those investments are becoming more risky to make. And so I think now's a great time for investors to start to think about, do they want to make those risky investments, particularly since there's this externality on society, which is another negative to think about.
Well, Will Lana is a partner and investment manager at Trillium Asset Management, a Boston-based firm that specializes in socially responsible investing. He's speaking with us today from San Francisco. Will, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And stay with us. Coming up, Simmons College President Helen Drinan is with us to talk about her very public battle against breast cancer. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.